Morning, good morning. Welcome on this Good Friday to our service. Lovely to see you as we gather together at this very special time of year to remember all that the Lord Jesus has done for us. This is our all-age service. Hopefully you're aware of that. So we'll be together for the whole time and there'll be bits of interaction and things like that throughout the service. So please do join in as you would like to. And afterwards, there will be Easter crafts. Linda's very kindly organised that. So for children of any age, up to certainly 25 and rising, through in the hall, if you'd like to, there'll be refreshments through there as well. If the sun's still shining, feel free to spill outside as well. This afternoon, we have another very different service. So from 2 till 3, an hour at the cross, a much quieter, more reflective. Generally, adults attend, I think, rather than children for that one. And a chance just to be thinking at that time of all that Jesus has done for us, sharing in some prayers and some songs and some reflections on the events of Good Friday and bits of silence as well, just for our own prayer. And then obviously Sunday morning, our Easter Sunday all-age communion service with Easter egg hunt. It's looking dry, so hopefully we'll be outside for the Easter egg hunt as well. And that'll be a fun occasion for us all. Well, we're going to begin this morning by fixing our eyes in very much the right place on the Lord Jesus. And this wonderful song speaks of how marvelous he is, how wonderful. So let's stand and sing together.
Amazing. Well, please do have a seat. Good morning. If you've not met, my name's Dan. I'll be taking us through our time this morning with James. And I thought to start us off today for our Good Friday all-age service, we'd think about shapes. You can take the teacher out of the classroom, or can you? So there's going to be some shapes appearing on the screen in your job, in your pews, those around you. Have a little chat. What is that shape? We'll start easy, and then we'll get a bit harder. So Susanna, can you get the first shape? Okay, in your pews very quickly. Hands up. What shape have we got? We've got a heart.
No shouting out, please.
Hands up, please. Of course you weren't. It's like being back in the classroom. Toby, what is it? It's a heart. Okay, next shape, please. Ooh, I'm going to be specific.
Archie nose. Triangle. Yeah, anyone know what kind of triangle? I think Dan wants to know what kind of triangle.
Go on, Jacob.
It is.
All right, well done. You will pass your sats. Well
right angle.
Right angle triangle. Right okay, angle. Let's take it up now. Ooh, adding more sides in. A slanted square. Really?
Slanted square. Like it. Yeah, like
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Where's come on, Mr. Governor? So that's sort of the math curriculum at St. Andrews.
AJ, go on, AJ. Parallelogram, certainly. Yeah, yeah, it is one of them. And any other names that it might go by?
Go on.
It's not the one on the piece of paper, I'm afraid.
I got it wrong on the paper. I got it wrong on the paper, James.
A rhombus? A rhombus?
So it could be, because a rhombus needs to have size all the same, which one? I'll give you a rhombus.
Yeah. Or
James,
it could be something else. What's the most general term? It sounds like it might be in a circus.
Four. It's got four. Four sides. Quadrilateral. Anyone? No.
Yeah.
A diamond ring going to one. Okay, let's take it up a little bit more. Let's get some more sides involved.
Next one.
Okay.
Oh, you need to count carefully. You need to count carefully.
You've got to count. Counting is key. Ooh,
Barney's got an idea. Barney's got one. Octagon. Yeah, octagon. Well done. Eight-sided. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Now, last one. James and I disagree as to what the name of this shape is. Okay.
Obviously, I'm right, but, you know.
I mean, I'm right, because I'm counting the reflex angles in the middle.
Got to be specific.
Ruben, what do you think it is? It is a star. Okay, now, we're going to get a bit more technical. Pip, what do you think it is? Well, it is the Star of David.
It's even the right colour.
It is. Yeah, if you counted the sides, that's 3D, Finn. Get rid of the hedron.
Dodecapod.
Will, what do you think it is?
Is that the answer to some joke or something? Yeah.
We're not sure. Tyler?
Pretty. Yeah. 6 sided.
So there were 12 sides. So I'm going to say that that's a dodecagon. Yeah, but James says I'm wrong, and he calls it a hexagram.
Hexagram, which is obviously right, isn't it?
Either way. Yeah. Anyway.
It's not a pentagram, it's a hexagram, certainly. Excellent. Brilliant. Well done with those. Well, what about, though, if the shape isn't quite so regular, the kind of thing you'd learn about in a classroom? Okay, so we're going to have some slightly different shapes, okay? And we want you to sort of say what it symbolises, not what it literally is, as it were, like a shape, but what it symbolises. So okay. Here we go. Oh,
What do you think?
Think Dan. A rugby ball. A rugby ball. Fantastic. Dan clearly put all these shapes together.
Of course he did.
Look what comes
especially
next.
Especially with our next shape.
Tyler. Batman. Yeah, it's shone in the sky, isn't it? Above Gotham City.
Okay, next shape.
Yeah. No, I didn't just say it. It's not Gotham City. It is not Gotham City. Anyone else? Has anyone not answered yet? I'm very interested what this answer is going to be. Isla. A city. Very good. It is a city.
Do we know
anyone
which
more
city?
Specific than that?
It isn't, yeah.
Is it? Seattle? No.
Clues on the left-hand side.
I think right-hand side. Right-hand
side.
My left,
you're right.
The right-hand side's the giveaway. Yeah, it's obviously post-2001 as well. Yeah.
Go on, Seth.
New York.
It is New York City.
Yeah. And finally...
Okay, one last picture.
Finally...
Go on, shout it out.
There we got.
Well done.
Brilliant. Well, you may be wondering, is it just sort of Dan sort of having left teaching and wanting a bit of the old kind of teaching vibe coming on? Why are we thinking about shapes on Good Friday morning? What's shapes got to do with Good Friday? Well, obvious question is, what shape would you particularly associate with Good Friday? So turn it on its head. Good Friday is the theme. What shape? Just chat in your pews quickly. What shape would you particularly associate?
Let me guess. I'm going to read your minds.
Or what shapes? You can have more than one.
I think the majority of you said this shape.
Anyone say anything else? Any other shapes?
Little Pippa.
The letter T.
That's not a shape, that's a letter.
Now,
everyone is right. The cross is a really significant shape when we think about Good Friday. And we will be thinking about the cross a little later on in our time together. But I want to suggest that this shape is equally as important and relevant when we think about Good Friday.
Dan, are you not a bit confused?
No.
I mean, that's a circle. Yeah. I'm sure we all know, a circle. And I mean, that's obviously the shape for Easter Sunday, isn't it? You know, the big stone that was in front of the tomb that had been rolled away on Easter Sunday when Jesus rises from the dead.
We wanted people coming back on Sunday, James, and now we're giving it away.
Oops.
Yes, you are right that the circle and the stone are symbolic on Easter Sunday. But we're going to see this morning how something in the Old Testament comes full circle when Jesus dies on the cross on Good Friday. Now, this morning, we're going to be hearing that phrase, full circle, quite a bit. And when we do, I need you all to draw a big circle in the air.
Feel free to stand up if that helps.
If you need to, to get the space. Like you're shooting an aeroplane off a hangar.
Some good practicing now. I don't think everyone was practicing, you know. Full engagement, please. Shall we practice, everyone? 1, 2, 3. Full circle. I mean, is that a circle on the screen? Is it a part circle? No, it's a full circle. There you go.
Full circle. Well, keeping you on your toes. Well done. And it's a good job that we're all getting into the use of doing some actions because we're going to sing again now. And this song does have actions. And if you want to join in with James and myself, come out to the front. If you don't want to join in with actions, that's totally fine. I normally don't. But I'm at the front, so I've got to. And this next song is just going to help us lead us into our time of confession. So as the band begins to play, Let's stand and sing.
Fantastic.
Amazing. Thank you so much, helpers. Do have a seat. Well, that song is pretty brutal. It's pretty honest about the state of the human condition. I mean, our opening line, no one is good. And to be honest, that's the reason we're here today on Good Friday, celebrating. It seems a bit strange that we're celebrating the fact that no one is good, but that song emphasizes the reason that we're here. It's because we're not good.
That's right, Dan. And that sin needs to be dealt with, doesn't it? And wonderfully, Good Friday is all about God dealing with our sin through Jesus as he comes to die on the cross for us. And so it's right today of all days that we sharing, confessing our sins together. There'll be a prayer either on the screen or on the service sheet, if you prefer, for us to pray together. So a moment's quiet, and then we'll pray this prayer. Together we pray. Heavenly Father, we are sorry for all the wrong things we think, say, and do. We confess our sin and know how much this offends you. Thank you that you sent Jesus to take the punishment in our place by dying on the cross. Thank you that this means that we are now free from condemnation and free to live as your children. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have put that marker down in history. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross to rescue us, to save us. He is our mighty, mighty Savior, and we praise you for him. Thank you for the new life that we receive in him. Help us to know more of that as we gather this morning and through this whole weekend. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you look up there, we're going to have our first Bible reading this morning from the Old Testament. And Bethany is going to come and read that for us. There are some pictures on the screen as well to help us follow along.
Today's reading is taken from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. And that can be found on page 22 of the Church Bibles. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son," and the two of them went together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Bethany. Wow. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Abraham would have wanted maybe a little less of a test. I've not got children, and I can't even begin to imagine being asked to sacrifice my only son, my son that was born to me in extraordinary, impossible circumstances.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what must Abraham have been feeling and thinking? But as we look back to this incredible event from Genesis, we're going to see how it comes full circle to Jesus. Full circle to Jesus. And so to help with that, I know we have the reading and the picture on the screen, but maybe if we just have a couple of people acting it out, that might be helpful.
Okay.
No, not us, Dan. Oh. We need some volunteers. Volunteers, please. Peter, thank you. Yeah, you can be Isaac. And Nick. Nick. Oh, he's putting his hand up. He's learning.
He's learning.
There you go. If you can be Abraham.
Right, if you guys go to the back and get yourselves ready. So, it all starts with God calling Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. And Abraham doesn't kick off. He doesn't object to it. He does exactly what God asks him to do. He loads up the donkey, takes a couple of servants with him, as well as his son, Isaac, who's going to be the sacrifice.
And so they set off. They head off to where God has told them to go, towards the mountain, Mount Moriah. Now, after 3 days, they make it to the mountain. Abraham and Isaac, they leave their servants behind. Thank you. Abraham takes the wood and he gives it to Isaac to carry. And he takes a knife in one hand and fire in the other. Fantastic. And they set off up the mountain.
And on their way, Isaac chips in. Dad, you've got the wood, got the fire, but where's the lamb? And you can only just kind of begin to think what is going through Isaac's head at this point. He's thinking, have I forgotten the lamb? Was I meant to be bringing the lamb? Maybe he's thinking, are there lambs on top of this mountain? That'd be quite handy. Is there going to be something else that's going to be sacrificed?
But Abraham replies, doesn't he? And his response is absolutely amazing, just oozing with faith. He says, God will provide the lamb to sacrifice. So even though God hasn't said that Isaac will be spared, Abraham is confident. He's so confident in God and his promises that he knows God will provide a way in which Isaac, his son, his only son, can be spared one way or another. And so Abraham is happy to go through with the sacrifice process.
They get to the top of the mountain and find the place that God said to make the sacrifice. And so they begin to put all the wood onto the altar, ready to sacrifice. And then Isaac doesn't really appear to resist when his dad binds him. And then lays Isaac on the altar, ready to be sacrificed. Abraham takes the knife in his hand, he raises it above his head, and he's about to kill his only son, the son that he loves, when he hears two words that will change the whole scenario.
God calls out Abraham's name, doesn't he? So we've not got God on hand, I'm afraid. So let's all play God together and shout out really loudly. Are we ready? One, two, three. Abraham!
Abraham!
And in an instant, everything changes. Isaac is spared by God. Abraham has trusted God. He was willing to even kill his own son, Isaac, just because God told him to.
And then remember what happens next? Abraham looks up and just happens to see a ram caught in a thicket. I mean, what a coincidence.
That's a ram caught in a thicket.
Wow. Just at the right time. Just at the right time. God provides a sacrifice to take the place of Isaac. And so together, Abraham then takes the ram. They put the ram on this altar and they sacrifice the lamb together instead of Isaac. Now that is someday on the mountain. Thank you very much to our volunteers. Give them a round
Fantastic.
Of applause.
Fantastic. Big round of applause. Thank you. Great job. Great job. Now it's your turn to do some thinking about what we've just heard and seen acted out before us. We've read all about it in Genesis 22. And now in your pews, turn again. And I want you to think about the events that happened with Abraham and Isaac that you think, one way or another, come full circle to Jesus on Good Friday. So a chance to buzz, quite a few things maybe. And so a bit of time just to chat in your pews. Anything in the story that you think is a significant detail that comes full circle to Jesus on Good Friday?
A couple of minutes to chat. Go. It could be objects, it could be people, it could be places. Anything that you think comes full circle. Okay. If you just stop there, it sounds like they've got a few ideas, James.
Yeah.
Because as we read it and saw it acted out, there just seems so much that seems familiar when we think about Good Friday. So can I get some feedback? Can we share what we've been thinking?
No, not so fast, Dan, not so fast. Okay. Before we think about how that some things come full circle to Jesus, we're going to sing about him again. And there are some more actions that go with this song. So again, if anyone wants to come out to the front, and we're going to think about some of the events through Jesus' life leading to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. So let's stand and lift Jesus' name on high together. Come to the front, anyone who wants to help?
Amazing. Great. Do you have a
Thanks,
seat?
Guys.
Thank you so
have
much
a seat.
Again.
Well done. Good actions again.
Okay, James, how about now? We've sung the song that tells us, that tracks Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, spoiler alert for Sunday. So can we now get some feedback on how everything with the team Abraham and Isaac comes full circle to Jesus on Good Friday?
Well, not just yet. I think it might help if we actually hear about the events of Good Friday first. And so we're going to have a reading from the New Testament now, from John's Gospel, chapter 19. And Joe is going to come and read selected verses from John 19 for us. Thank you, Joe.
So the second reading this morning is taken from John, chapter 19, starting at verse 1. And that can be found on page 1087 of the Church Bibles. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. From verse 16. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Continuing from verse 28. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head
and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happen so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Right. Thank you, Joe. Okay, Dan, now is the time for us to get some feedback. Maybe some other things became clear during that reading as well. But let's think about how things from Abraham and Isaac come full circle to Jesus.
Okay, so this is the time for you guys to share. When you chatted in your pews, what things do we think kind of tracked from the Old Testament through to the New Testament? Hands up. Let's share. If you don't share, this would be very... We'll just talk at you. Go on, AJ. Give us one thing. Shall I pass to your brother? Seth, go. Yeah. Both events happen on a mountain. We've got Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah, and then Jesus on, well, the Mount of Calvary. In our remember, we said it was called Golgotha. So both events happen on a mountain. What else do we have?
Yeah.
What else do we have? Pippa.
Abraham obeyed God, and Jesus obeyed God.
Fantastic.
Total obedience, haven't we? In the first instance, Abraham obeying God to sacrifice his son. In the second, we've got Jesus obeying the Father's commands to be the sacrifice. What else have we got? We were chatting in our pew, so I know that chatting was happening. Unless we were just talking about how lovely the weather is. Go on, Steve. Brilliant. We've got two...
Wood theme, yeah.
We've got a wood theme. Toby.
Oh, yeah.
There's a swap of sacrifices. Did we spot that in the Old Testament? It's Isaac being swapped. And as we said in our confession, it's kind of us that's being swapped rather than us being sacrificed. And actually picking up on the Isaac thing, we've kind of got two sons being offered as sacrifices. We've got Isaac, the son of Abraham, and we've got Jesus, the son of God.
So you've got Abraham and God as fathers.
Yes. Anything else that we spotted? Otherwise, there's a few things that I spotted which I found really exciting. Go on, Toby, you've got another one. So we've got two sacrifices going on.
Yeah. Anything else? Anything else at all?
Go on, Nick. So we've got an innocent, well, was it a lamb in the...
It was a ram.
A ram, haven't we?
Yeah.
And in the John's Gospel, Jesus is called the Lamb of God. So in that case, we've got a ram being sacrificed, and then we've got a lamb being sacrificed. Anything else we spotted? Or have we exhausted everything? The one thing I spotted, which I found really cool, was, well, where was the ram found with Abraham and Isaac? He was found in a thicket. And when we track through to the New Testament, Jesus hanging on the cross, we see the Lamb of God with the thicket on his head, with the crown of thorns representing the thicket that the ram was found in the Old Testament.
Fantastic. And also, I mean, the knife, in that John's Gospel, you said they will look on the one they have pierced. And certainly in a prophecy from Zechariah, it speaks about the shepherd being struck struck in a sort of death blow. So I guess you've got a bit of a theme and the sort of spear stuck in Jesus' side and things like that. So yeah.
Was there anything that was different?
Anything that was particularly different?
Come full circle when we got to what didn't quite there? Pippa, what didn't? So that must be the most important. Isaac wasn't killed, but Jesus was killed. So that's got to be the important.
Absolutely, yeah. So as we've gone through Genesis 22, we've seen lots of details of the story, haven't we, in Genesis 22, that come full circle on Good Friday. But there's one thing, one big thing in the story that doesn't come full circle. And that's supposed to make us stop and think. Isaac, he was spared. And the ram was caught in the thicket, wasn't it? And that was sacrificed instead. But Jesus, he was sacrificed as the Lamb of God.
And that's because Isaac is like you, like James, he's like me. He's just a sinful human. And if Isaac was here this morning, he would have joined in saying the confession that we'd said at the start of our time together.
That's right. But Jesus, he's totally different, isn't he? Jesus is sinless, not sinful. He was the Lamb of God, not just a ram caught in a thicket. The reason that Isaac wasn't allowed to be sacrificed, in a sense, is because he wasn't ultimately the suitable sacrifice. He wasn't the perfect sacrifice. And it showed to God that Abraham trusted him completely, but Isaac, he couldn't even pay for his own sins, let alone anyone else's. Isaac didn't meet the standard of a perfect sacrifice in that sense.
So you could even say that the reason that Isaac was able to be spared is because Jesus died on the cross for him as well.
Yeah, in a wonderful, wonderful way. When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he did as a sacrifice for everyone who trusts and believes God's promises. Past, present, and future. So Abraham and Isaac trusted God, didn't they? Abraham trusted God that he would spare his son. And Jesus' death on the cross, in a sense, made that possible. Isaac was spared because Jesus would die. And so when we see Jesus hanging on the cross with the crown of thorns on his head, it should make us think back to that ram caught in the thicket when Isaac was spared. It should make us go, wow, the Lamb of God dying in my place, in your place. I deserve to die. Jesus didn't. Jesus went through all of that for me. What was meant for me came to him instead. Isaac was spared. I can be spared. We can all be spared. All because of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who dies in our place.
And so we're going to sing of that amazing truth now. And in the chorus of our next song, we sing this of Jesus, the Lamb of God in my place. Your blood poured out, my sin is erased. It was my death that you died. I'm raised to life. Hallelujah, the Lamb of God. So as the music starts, let's stand and rejoice in Jesus being our Lamb, our sacrifice.
Please have a seat, and the Underhills are going to come and now lead us in prayer. Thank you.
We're going to pray a few short prayers now, and at the end of each one, we'll say Amen. And if you agree with what we're praying, please join in and say Amen yourself.
Dear God, when we think of you on Good Friday, we feel sad, but we also feel happy because you died to take away our sin. So we reflect on this story and think of it as a happy day. We are thankful that even when we deserve to be punished, you died to take our place. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Good Friday. We are so grateful that Jesus died on the cross for us, even when we didn't deserve it and should have been punished. We thank you. As we reflect on your sacrifice, let us remember that we are alive and here because of Jesus. We are sorry that we have taken your love for us so lightly and don't thank you for giving yourself for us. Please forgive us and help us to be more like you. And we are also sorry that we sometimes take the idea of the story of Easter and switch it so that you aren't in it and that it is just a bit of fun and a story. Please help us to see past that and see what the true meaning of Easter is all about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we lift to you this morning our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, many of whom will be gathering today to remember and to pause and to celebrate the events of Good Friday. Thank you so much for the encouragement of being part of a global church, the body of Christ, and for the future joy of spending all eternity with every one of those believers in the new creation. Lord God, this morning we particularly want to pray for Christians who are celebrating the events of Easter in places of war and violence, or in places where they need to worship you in secret, because meeting together publicly could mean that they end up being punished in some way. Please would you strengthen them by your Spirit. Please uphold them and spur them on in the certainty that the events that we celebrate this Easter weekend mean that their current trials will not last forever and that a glorious future awaits them. Please would they grasp hold of that hope all the more firmly today, and would it help them to face whatever they're living in the midst of with courage and with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Finally, Father God, we do thank you for Good Friday. Thank you that unlike so many things we call good in this world, Good Friday is truly good. Thank you that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of the sacrifice we need, that he took the place of not only Isaac, but of all those who've trusted in him from the beginning till eternity. Thank you that through Jesus we have a way to be part of your family, that we can be called your children, children of the Most High God, welcomed and embraced, cared for and loved by the one who put the stars in the sky, who keeps the world spinning and sustains all life upon it. Father, we cannot truly comprehend how good it really is. We ask that by your Spirit, some of what we've seen and heard this morning and how we interact and love one another through the week would reveal to us more of your great and wonderful promises. Father, we ask that not one person would leave here without having their heart moved, and that anyone who doesn't yet know the truth of these promises personally, we ask that you would show them the reality of the grace offered freely to them. Father, we bring to you all those for whom Good Friday is a hard day, through illness, bereavement, work or financial stresses, Lord. In the silence, we lift them up to you. We thank you that whatever they are facing, you are greater. We ask that the truth of your promises would break through the darkness that those experiences bring. We ask that you would help us to be the tools you use to support, encourage, and grow those who are hurting. Please give us your heart, your vision, your selflessness, so that we can encourage each other daily to be looking to Jesus, our rock, and our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Great. Well, we're nearly at the end of our time together this morning. And hasn't it been wonderful to look back at just one story from the Old Testament? There are so many stories in the Old Testament we could have looked at of how things come full circle to Jesus, and how he fulfills everything, every single one of God's promises. Because the story of the Bible, isn't it, is about God's wonderful plan to rescue us for himself from start to finish. And so we're going to finish by singing of the one who is our salvation. Let's stand and sing together.
Well, that kind of brings to the end of our time in this part of our church building. But we've got tea, coffee, squash, and very excitedly, leftover cake from last night, and hot cross buns, as well as various tables of Easter craft. Now, I'm going to say, James, you can't just limit it at Finn. If you are older than Finn and you want to get involved with some Easter craft, go ahead. Knock yourself out. But that's through, as James said, if the weather's nice, which it seems to be, you can spill out onto the Vicarage Drive. But as kind of we bring our time together, I think, James, you're going to pray for us.
Fantastic. Let me say a final prayer. Just as we are destined to die once and after that to face judgments, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So, Heavenly Father, this Good Friday, would we be filled with that confidence that we are waiting for our Saviour to return, to take us home, to be with him. Might we know that, rooted in the fact that he has died for us, to pay for our sin, and to open up the gate of heaven for us. And so we thank and praise you in his precious name. Amen.